Earth and Sky.
It's going to be a diverse mix with diverse engines and diverse fuel sources that is going to include electricity, it's going to include biofuels, it's going to include natural gas, it's going to include gasoline and diesel from oil. Not only will you have a selection of models and trims in your car, but you'll have a selection of fuel source in your car.
You're listening to fuel chemist Jose Bravo, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Bravo is chief scientist separations for Shell. He's involved in developing the fuels used today to power the internal combustion engines used in most modern vehicles, as well as looking at future trends in mobility. Earth Sky's Jorge Salazar spoke with him about the fuels and cars of the future.
Mr. Bravo, welcome to Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science.
Well, thank you. Happy to be here.
Some futurists have predicted the end of the internal combustion engine by 2036. Do you think it will stay around, at least for the next few decades?
I think the answer is yes. It's going to change, and its role is going to change in the new environment. You probably see a lot more diverse sources of power for mainly transportation. And the internal combustion engine will continue to be a major player, but I think suffering or undergoing some important modifications in the future. But in the next few decades, I don't see it going away at all. I think it still will be a very relevant and probably still the major source of mobility. Yeah?
These important modifications you're talking about, are these things that are going to be radical, like the size of the cars, what we put into the cars, and what comes out of the cars, the emissions?
I think all of them. It's not only about the engine, it's also, as you correctly point out, about the car. So with, just President Obama just announced some new standards in the U.S. For fuel efficiency, which are, 25 or so percent higher than what was there before. There's still a lot of room to improve on efficiency of internal combustion engines and the cars that use them. So I think those modifications, those changes that I was talking about before, are going to have to do with better engines, better fuels, better lubricants, lighter cars, power recovery systems like the hybrids or any of the other systems that are there.
What do you see as the role of fuel makers in shaping what tomorrow's cars will look like?
Well, as these newer cars are required, the type of fuel, the cleanliness of the fuel, the reliability of the fuel, the availability of the fuel, all those are issues that the fuel manufacturers need to address to continue to be part of the equation.
Would you like to maybe talk a little bit more specifically about some of these fuels being developed?
The alternative fuels topic is very interesting. If you constrain the discussion first to alternative hydrocarbon fuels, meaning fuels that are going to produce gasoline or diesel equivalents, okay? There are several very interesting scenarios there. One of them, which is already a big play for Shell and it's a big commercial endeavor, is automotive fuels or transportation fuels from natural gas. We have a technology we call GTL, gas to liquids, that produces basically diesel-type components from methane, from natural gas. And the availability of methane and the abundance of methane in some parts of the world is very high and also difficult to realize the value of methane because transporting it becomes very expensive. So converting it into a liquid fuel gives you a tremendous increase in the value of that methane to society. But at the same time, because methane is significantly cleaner in terms of pollutants than oil would be, you produce a very clean fuel, a very clean burning fuel, and a fuel with little sulfur and very few other contaminants. So now if you move a little bit further down the complexity chain, you have fuels from biosources that can also be produced and blended into the fuel system. And you hear about things like oils and recycled oils and lipids from algae and things like that. And Shell is very active in some of those fields where you use biomass or biological processes to produce the carbon-based fuels that you're going to utilize in your vehicles. And of course, that has a tremendous advantage of potentially being closer to a renewable resource And also it has the advantage that it doesn't generate any additional CO2 to the atmosphere. And those, more and more, you're seeing biofuel components into the mix.
You know, we've been talking about these cars of the future and some of these future fuels. And I guess in order to realize this vision, it's going to have to take place in certain places, in different cities all over the planet. Could you give us an example of how this may play out?
You have a city like New York City that is compact, distances are small, trips are short, of course, and probably more numerous. And there's a tremendous basis for electricity supply and electricity infrastructure in the city of New York. So you would see a place like New York show a certain fondness for electric cars. Some of the limitations of electric cars about short range and so on would not be all that undesirable in New York. It would not pose a big problem. If you go to the other extreme and you go to, for example, Los Angeles, there electric cars might be interesting too, even though you may think that the city is very widespread. But you know, one of the things that has been talked about a lot is electrical energy for Los Angeles based on offshore wind. And they sure have a lot of that there. So the supply of energy for that might make the introduction of electric cars a little bit more easier than people think in a city like Los Angeles. If you come to Houston, Texas, then that's probably a little bit more difficult because we have some of the Los Angeles attributes of being very spread out. So long trips and quite a bit of time in the vehicles and distance, and a great availability at this point of fossil fuels in Houston just because of the existing infrastructure. So you can see all these three cities developing differently. Another one that comes to mind is Seattle. Seattle might have a lot of access to biomass through wood and lignocellulosic ethanol, for example. And that might drive the production of that fuel there and vehicles of that nature. So those are examples of how I think the local environment will dictate what the mix look like. But the important thing is that the mix should be available for you to create that portfolio of sources. There's no panacea, there's no silver bullet for everybody. I think each one of us is going to find a little bit of a different silver bullet.
You've been listening to Jose Bravo, a chief scientist for Shell. Our thanks today to Shell, encouraging dialogue on the energy challenge. To subscribe to this and other free science podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.